WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
At least three of the singers we're hearing from on Soul Music Week, Curtis Mayfield, Aretha Franklin, and Bobby Womack, credit Sam Cooke with having inspired them to cross over from gospel to pop. Rock historian Ed Ward has a profile of Cooke during his early career, before records like You Send Me and Wonderful World. Ed goes back to Cooke's own gospel roots, which continued to influence Cooke from his first hit to his last.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
I don't know how many times I've picked up a soul singer's biography and read that their career started in church. The black church has always been where the soul and soul singing comes from, yet it's not always easy to show that fact clearly. But in the case of Sam Cooke, the man who very nearly invented soul music, we can hear it happen. The story starts with the Soul Stirrers.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart feel lonely, dark and long for my heavenly home? For Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. On the sparrow, and I know He watching me. Oh, Lord, I stand.
The Soul Stirrers were one of America's top gospel groups, founded in the 30s around the incomparable singer R.H. Harris, whom we heard singing His Eye Is on the Sparrow. But in 1950, Harris decided to retire, and the Soul Stirrers, who were still headliners, searched for a replacement. They found him in Sam Cooke, a minister's son from Chicago, who was only 16 years old but was already a veteran of the gospel scene after singing for a couple of years with another top group, the Highway QCs. He had the looks, he had the experience, and as they found out the first time they went into the studio with him, he had the voice.
Whoa.
Don't discount the value of looks, either. Gospel music is still show business, and yet it's a kind the young tend not to go see. Suddenly, the old men in the Soul Stirrers found they were getting young girls in the front rows, and that the frenzy was wilder than usual.
Sometimes, I like to be in the company, and then again, I like to steal off all alone. A song is the only thing, Father, that will console me, Lord. Trouble's about to come. I can fall down on my knees and call God late at night, and I know God he'll make my burdens all right. If I tell him, Lord, I've got a desire.
Yeah.
Even on this fairly primitive live recording of Nearer to Thee, made in Los Angeles in the mid-50s, you can get an inkling of the excitement Sam Cooke generated, a palpably sexual reaction that's similar to, but different from, the normal gospel fan's reaction. And those of you who are familiar with Sam's later work will recognize where he got Bring It On Home to Me. By 1956, Sam Cooke was 21 years old and feeling the urge to move on. He secretly recorded a pop song, Lovable, and released it under the name Dale Cooke. The reaction was strong enough that he handed the Soul Stirrers his resignation and never looked back. The gospel world was scandalized, and a rumor circulated that Sam Cooke had sold his soul to the devil. If he had, the devil had gotten himself a bargain. Sam Cooke had more soul than most people. Although he tried to reconcile with the gospel world and get it to accept what he'd done, he was an outcast among them and remained that way until the night in 1961 when he was shot to death in a still unexplained incident in a motel. Today, Sam Cooke's pop recordings still stand as milestones, but anybody who loves his singing really owes it to themselves to look into the place where it started, with the Soul Stirrers.
Our rock historian, Ed Ward, lives in Berlin.